Imagine knowing exactly what your students are learning and exactly which steps you need to take next.
Join us in Download the Reading Quiz to craft meaningful and productive formative assessments that move away from gotcha moments of basic recall and toward assessing what your students actually can do.
In this 30-minute free masterclass, we'll share three powerful assessment keys that work for any novel at any time of the year.
Head to shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to sign up, and we'll also send you a free workbook to keep track of all your notes.
Once again, that's shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to nail formative assessments forever.
Well, hello and welcome back to Brave New Teaching, and welcome to a little dystopia series, you guys. We're back at it. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Marie. You know, when I hear the word dystopia, I get a little excited.
Our heart starts to race. We get a little... It's very exciting. It has been a while. And fans of the Brave New Teaching podcast who have been here for a while are also like, finally, because these are some of the most common questions we get are regarding dystopia and the genre, and for good reason. Like, if you have missed our first, I'm trying to remember when we did it, 2 years ago, series on dystopia. Mm-hmm. Yes, there you go. We did quite a few episodes, and I think my favorite one of the batch was Living in a Dystopian World, and just talking about, that's the one we've gotten the most like, oh my gosh, yes, feedback from listeners, is talking about like how students just eat dystopia up at every grade level, especially in like the upper grades in 9 through 12. They go insane for dystopia because there's so many different like avenues to go within the genre. And there's so many different niches within the genre that students can like really get into and just have a love for the stories and then also get thinking all the reasons we like it.
We talked about too, I think in that series, and we won't get into it now, but if you have missed any of that, please go back and listen. But a big reason that we're back is that we believe and we have seen the versatility of this genre is unlike other genres, you know, and I love other genres. Don't get me wrong. I especially love dystopia for what Marie is saying. It's scalable. We've talked about in other episodes about how there are really great text sets for 7, 8, 9, and then really difficult text sets for 10, 11, 12. And the genre goes beyond the novel, right? We've got really good short stories, really good film. The variety makes it the kind of genre that you can teach over and over and over again and never get sick of it and always have something fresh. So we are here, in fact, with some fresh book updates that are, I mean, we haven't talked about dystopia in 2 years. So yeah. These books are books that have been around, but we want to just get kind of bring them back to the surface and help you rethink some ideas moving forward for your own dystopia units.
Yeah, whether you're looking at something that's like an all-class text, be it novel or short story, or you're looking for something that's student choice reading, book clubs, lit circles, that sort of a thing, we wanted to bring some different ideas in because the first time we talked about it in our Teaching Dystopia workshop, our virtual workshop for teachers that helps you put together your whole dystopia unit or sprinkle it throughout the year, however you want to do it. We talked about some pretty classic texts and a few newer ones. It's been 2 years, like Amanda said. So we wanted to bring some more ideas to the forefront and even mention a couple that didn't get quite the fanfare that we think they should have.
They deserve it. They deserve it. So we're going to go through some new books with you today. I mean, who doesn't love a book chat? This one's just like, we narrowed it down a little bit, but we're having a book chat today.
And friends, we're getting ready to bring that dystopia workshop back to you with a little bit of renewed energy. So let's get started, shall we? All right, cue the music.
You're listening to Brave New Teaching, and we are so much more than a podcast.
We give teachers the inspiration, support, and tools to challenge the status quo.
I'm Amanda, and I'm a former English teacher from Illinois.
And I'm Marie, and I'm a teacher from Southern California.
Join us at bravenewteaching.com to find out more about our courses, festivals, and get every episode's show notes.
We're so glad you're here. Enjoy the show. All righty, friends. whenever we start talking about dystopia, Amanda and I get really excited because we have one of our favorite lessons ever is introducing dystopia and some of the themes within it. And it's such a versatile lesson. I've done it many different ways using the book Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Oh my gosh.
I love doing Cloudy. It's so fun. And like even my students that have had me before. So like in my sophomore English class, I teach a whole entire quarter where we use dystopia. We start with, I read aloud, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. For those of you who know what we're talking about, you've probably already done this as well. So like chime in on Instagram if you're like, yes, I have done this lesson. If you don't know what we're talking about, we have this lesson for you for free. If you just go to shop.bravenewteaching.com/cloudy, head to the show notes for this episode. Like you can get your hands on this. It is a super versatile lesson and it just helps you introduce the genre. It helps you introduce themes, essential question, like however you want to make it work. But like the long and short of it is you use the picture book and then students get super engaged and you hoodwink them into critical thinking. And it's like, gotcha, made you smarter. Ha ha.
Brought to you by Brave New Teaching. Best ways to hoodwink your children.
Best ways to, be like, psych, you thought this was fun times. It's also learning.
It became the kind of lesson that like when I looked at my planner, I was like, ooh, it's cloudy day.
Yes.
You know, like you have those certain lessons that are so staple.
Oh, that's what I was starting to say. Yes. So then my students who I now have as juniors that I had last year are like, are we going to read that book again? And I'm like,
when is cloudy day?
Yeah. Yes. Quarter two. And they're like, yes. They're so excited because they're like, I want to listen to it again and I have more thoughts. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're such a nerd and I love it.
I love it.
But yeah, check it out, friends. It's free. Get it. We like free lessons.
We like free lessons. And well, we really like learning alongside of you. So like, if you're ready to take this up the next level,
maybe
you've already done Cloudy and you're like, what else do Marie and Amanda have for us? Well, we have a very special invitation to you. If you are listening in real time, we are having a live coaching session coming up. And this live coaching session is taking place on Saturday morning. It's Saturday, September 23rd at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. If you are not listening in real time, no worries. We will make sure that the recording is available for you as well. But we would love to invite you to join us for, like I said, this live coaching session where we are going to tackle the synthesis essay underneath the dystopian genre. So we're going to really take a focus on dystopian prompts. We're going to begin the coaching session with the assumption that you have designed and taught and you are in the midst of wrestling with dystopia, but maybe not quite sure what a synthesis writing experience looks like when using an essential question, or you just want to see someone else do it. We have designed a full hour-long session where we're going to walk you through two prompts, two different versions of outlines, as well as some of the rubrics that we shared in happy hour earlier. We're going to put those in there and show you how we would work with some different rubrics. So this live coaching not only comes with our direction, but also all the materials. We have a Google folder full of the outlines, the prompts, the rubrics, everything for you. So again, if you can come live, we want you there. We want to be able to take your questions and things like that. But if you're listening later, still sign up, come take the little coaching session for yourself. And I think you're going to walk away feeling so much more confident in this process, especially while teaching dystopia.
Yeah, big time. Well, and I mean, a synthesis essay really is, or a synthesis anything really is the way to go to really get students doing the heavy lifting with their own learning and showing you what they've learned. And we're really excited just to, even if dystopia is not your thing, well, I feel like you're not going to get this far into this episode and be like, I don't really like dystopia. The number of, you could probably play, like take shots and you'd be under the table with the number of times we've said the word alone.
So show notes.
Okay, let's start talking about some of our favorite books. Because this is like, I mean, really, yes, we love writing. We love teaching writing and all of the critical thinking. But really, we like being book nerds. So let's like get into what's really important. Book nerds. We have a couple of books that we did mention in our dystopia workshop when we launched it the first time. But as we were talking about today's episode and just kind of bringing in some new text, we were like, you know what? Those two didn't really get the glory that they deserve because they both have like shining moments in my own classroom. And so we wanted to take a moment. One of the books that we think deserves just more in general is called The Marrow Thieves by Sherry Dimmeline. And she writes such a compelling and engaging story. And it's only like 230 pages. Like it's itty bitty. Students jam through it. And it's dystopia with, I mean, it's one of those really classic good dystopias where it's like set in the vague possible future, like not too far off, but not too close. It's so good.
It's so good. And I love the protagonist is male.
Yep.
For whatever reason, I think that that's another reason I love dystopia is I feel like there's a good balance between female and male protagonists that they kind of swap off. And I like that. There's a lot of Marrow Thieves too connected to the history of residential schools in Canada. So I think, you know, what we're going to talk about in a couple other episodes moving forward, the ways to use these whole class novels. I think this will be a really good one to pair with some research. I think this is something in the States that we don't know about, or especially our students don't know about or have not learned about yet. So I think Marrow Thieves sets itself up beautifully for research. And then the symbolism conversation around dreams is really powerful in Marrow Thieves, which is also interesting because that's also in Gracier too.
Yes. And well, so the thing that I use the Marrow Thieves in my American literature course, and it's funny because I've had a little series happening on social media where I'm walking everybody through Amanda's Julius Caesar unit that I am teaching. And I've gotten a few comments of, I love you, but I protect my American authors. I can't get behind this. And I'm like, first of all, yeah, isn't that interesting? Huh. So there's that. I mean, that's a whole separate thing. Yes. The Marrow Thieves is written by a Canadian author. Are we or are we not still in North America? That's like my first question. But the interesting thing about this novel is that it doesn't say it's specifically set in Canada, in the Canadian territories. It says North America.
Well, right. I mean, it's the same because as Hunger Games because everything's been demolished. So,
well, and it's right up there where that border is blurred. Because quite frankly, if we're talking about like Indigenous people, the border is something that – the colonists came in and are like, you know, like this is not. Yes. Yeah, so, yeah. So I think that that's an amazing line of conversation for an American lit class 100%. Is all of this when settlers come in and uproot everything. Yeah. So Marrow Thieves, that's kind of my little like pitch for it. Absolutely belongs in an quote unquote American literature class because it looks at the foundations of America and American ideals.
And the future of
the future. So here's our little, the Goodreads spiel on it. In a futuristic world ravaged by global warming, people have lost the ability to dream and the dreamlessness has led to widespread madness. The only people still able to dream are North America's indigenous people. And it is their marrow that holds the cure for the rest of the world. But getting the marrow and dreams means death for the unwilling donors. Driven to flight, a 15-year-old and his companion struggle for survival, attempt to reunite with loved ones and take refuge from the quote-unquote recruiters who seek them out to bring them to marrow-stealing factories.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part of this book is the back and forth. I have a hard time sometimes with multiple timelines because I get confused if I don't read it. But like I read through this so quickly because it was so compelling that I didn't get confused at all. I didn't like lose my place day to day. And it's just really well written and it's very approachable for students.
It's approachable for students. And that is one of the key factors, right? When we think about whole class novels versus choice and making that decision. And I think dystopia, I've done both. I've done choice. I've done whole class. And there's something really powerful about being all in the same book.
It is. Yes.
And as much as I love choice, I've always kind of felt like choice is great after we've done something together, whether it's an extended short story or a quick YA. This is a good one to do together because I think there's enough in Marrow Thieves. It's readable and approachable, but there's enough history and details that they're going to need a little bit of guidance too.
They need support and it gets intense. I mean, there are definitely some scenes that I warn some students who might be sensitive to like assault and other types of just hard topics. I say, you know what? You might want to skip these pages and just gloss over. Just, I want you to know that there's, you know, a violent scene that happens here. And that's all they need to know, you know, and some of the other kids are like, well, I think I'm okay.
Well, speaking of violence, let's talk about the Gracier.
Let's do it. Let's talk about another book that kids come up to me when I've not done the Gracier all class because it's not adopted in our district. Marrow Thieves is. But so many kids have chosen the Gracier for their Lit Circle book that when they come up to me and I can tell exactly where they are, like I can tell where they're at in the story, they come up to me and they go, well, that was unexpected. And I go, I told you.
I'm having a moment here because I read The Gracier when it came out like a long time ago, like before the festival, but I feel like I must have read really fast or not finished it and been in like a COVID haze of some sort because my book club chose The Gracier for our September book read. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. And so like, I actually reread it, well, listened to it, and I am still shooketh, still shooketh, like I'm about a week out, and I cannot believe I didn't have the same kind of reaction the first time that I read it. And this needs to be a whole class novel.
I agree.
So here's my first thing. So if you've never read The Gracier, I want you to think about like, it's like Katniss meets Lord of the Flies meets, it's like a whole meets Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
There's a really interesting blend of experiences in this novel, which is, I think, what makes it so beautiful because yes, it's horrifying, but there's also really sweet, tender moments, both like romantically and family, as well. So I just think The Gracier is awesome. The premise is this. We've got this cultish kind of small town. I kind of picture the town of the lottery. That's what they make
I was
me
just,
feel like.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, think M. Night Shyamalan style town.
Yes. Like a village. And they live in this, it does sound like their religion is a Christian faith. They don't ever respond. I don't think they ever say Christian.
It feels super Puritan. Yes.
It feels very Puritan-y. And their biggest fear is that when girls come of age, that they are kind of breeding some kind of magic. And I think it comes along with right their period, and it's, you know, they're 16. And so for their grace year, the year of 16, they are sent away from the village to go dispel all their, to come into their magic, get rid of their magic, and come back pure, ready to be wise.
Thanks again for listening to Brave New Teaching. We'd love to keep the conversation going over on Instagram.
And while you're there, check out the links in our bio for the most up-to-date events going on in the Brave New Teaching community.
Thanks for being here and have a great week at school.
It's only a piece of the book. You get the before, you get the during, and you get the after. And I feel like so many YA novels just like spend all the time in like the, I don't know, like the promise, but never the rest of the story. But you get so much more than just what happens during the grace year on this remote island, terrifying situation. It's so cool.
This is one of those books that when I finished it, I was like, where's the rest?
I tried.
I wanted more. It could have been a series. It could have been cranked out, but it wasn't, which is, I mean, probably better because it's a full, complete story. Not a trilogy, not whatever.
It's complete.
It's complete.
So Kim Leggett, she's the author. She did an interview at the end of the Audible book, and the narrator asked her, so where did the story come from? And she tells the story, and she said she was sitting in a train station, I think in Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania somewhere, and she was watching these little girls play, and then she watched a man walk by and give them this kind of very unsettling look. And right when she says that, she bursts into tears, like years after witnessing this. She said, I needed to write this story of how women are both innocent and commodities. And I'm like thinking about my daughter and I'm bawling and I'm like thinking about my son and telling him like, you know, like what everything he needs to know. And like, I don't know, it's just a really important book. Maybe that's why I felt it so much more now than before, is my kids are older. The world is getting to be, I think, a harder place for women to live in recently.
Getting older. Everything's getting older. Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's a really important story. And I will officially announce this on the podcast. I am in the process of building a paired unit, a Lord of the Flies Gracier unit, where the kids read both. William Golding, she said, she also listened to him in an interview talk about how Lord of the Flies, when he wrote it, there was no way that women could be the main characters because they were just too fragile. Which also kicked her butt into gear to writing The Gracier. So this is going to be a big project. I think for me, it's going to be a lot of research of bringing these two together into something manageable for kids. But if you have not read it or considered it for class, here is just a small little plug.
I mean, and what cool audio pairs also.
Yeah.
Those little author interviews. So cool.
so cool. So definitely give it a chance.
Yeah, those are two that we have read, used with students multiple times. Like, I've used both of these books multiple times with students, sometimes as all class. And I now feel I feel compelled to get the Gracier adopted in my district so it can be used with all class. But
yeah,
there we go. Give some attention to those ones.
Hey, Brave New Teaching friends. Today's teacher self-care tip from Marie is brought to you by Audible. So Amanda has, since the foundation of this podcast, been the one of the two of us who has been all about audiobooks. I love bringing audiobooks into my classroom. I like using them for all class, listening to like sections of books and having support for students who need it, where they can listen to an audiobook in place of reading or alongside reading to develop their skills. I just never was one who listened to audiobooks until very recently. I was a podcast girl. I listened to the news through podcasts. I listened to my French speaking podcast to brush up on my skills. I even listened to like Bravo Real Housewife recap podcasts. Audiobooks, though, have brought such an amazing just joy to my life. So I like to pop in a headphone when I am doing laundry or doing the dishes or doing yard work and stuff like that around the house. It kind of helps me unwind and it helps me just be at center with myself and just kind of doing somewhat mindless things. And podcasts, I was realizing, were not quite fitting the bill for me because they were not ongoing. Step into Audible with audiobooks. I have been listening to this book on Audible called The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches by Sangyu Mandana. And it is the cutest story. I find myself giggling out loud all alone in my yard doing yard work. I'm sure my neighbors have some interesting, you know, thoughts about what I am doing out there by myself as I'm like picking weeds and giggling like a fool. But it is just such a delight. This book is narrated by a woman with the best voice. She has the best voice and she can do all of these different English and Irish voices for all of these different characters. It's like the perfect little fall book to just get you into kind of like witchy season. And it's just so good. I'm probably about an hour into the book so far, if even. And it's I look forward to loading and unloading the dishwasher at night. Like, that is how good it is. The other thing that I love Audible for is for listening to books with my kids. I love doing read alouds with my own kids at home, but like after teaching all day long, I'm done. I'm completely spent. My voice especially is spent and my kids can like see and hear that. So they get kind of uncomfortable listening to me read them a book. And sometimes I fall asleep doing it. We like listening to books together. We like to listen to them in the car. We like to listen to them at home when it's like right before our bedtime routine to kind of unwind while maybe we're doing a puzzle or something like that. And one of the books that we've been listening to is actually the second book in a series, The Land of Stories by Chris Colfer. We listened to the first book this summer as we were going on some road trips in Southern California, and we jammed through the first book. And now we're in the second one and we are following along with Alex and Connor, the twins, as they are going into the land of stories to like have these grand adventures. And my kids and I find ourselves talking about the books after the fact. And there's something so cool about experiencing that together. And Audible is what makes it possible. If you would like to get yourself a free trial for Audible, I highly encourage it. It is completely free for you. If you are a Prime member of Amazon, you actually get 2 free credits. If you're not, you get 1 free credit for a book. After 30 days, you will then be enrolled in Audible's like regular monthly membership. And if you choose not to enroll in that membership, you get to keep the book that you got completely for free. Like, how cool is that? It's no strings attached. You just get a free book out of it and you get to listen. So like, I would highly encourage you to listen to The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches if that is something that you would like to do. And maybe you're going to be excited to do your dishes just like I am, like every single day. Anyways, it's been a great way to like add in a little piece of self-care because it's just fun and I love it so much. And I'm still getting the things in that I need to get done and I'm not dreading my chores. I actually quite enjoy them. So head to audibletrial.com/BNT. That's audibletrial.com/BNT so that you can get your free trial for Audible, get your free credit, or if you are a Amazon Prime member, get your 2 free credits for 30 days. You get to keep the books. There is absolutely no strings attached. It is so awesome, and I know you're going to love it. All right, let's get back into the show.
All right, friends, we spent quite a bit of time earlier talking about 2 novels. We want to now just give you some more ideas. Some of these we have read, some of these we have not yet read, but we have heard really good things about. But just to kind of get the like creative juices a-going, I think one is a short story and the rest are novels. Yes? Am I correct?
Sorry, I'm not looking. I'm looking at my Libby right now. I don't think I put any short stories on there.
Oh, okay. Then just kidding. They're okay. All novels. Well, so there's this one. It's no surprise.
You're right. Yeah.
I am right. Oh, gosh. Okay, Say that again, but louder. I'm what?
You are right.
No, that wasn't louder. Try again.
You're right, Marie.
Thank you. Did everybody get that? Did we all record that? Fantastic. So, it comes as no surprise that I love fantasy novels. I like a good princess story that takes you for like the strong heroine with a ball gown. Like, I'm all about it. Like, basically, if it has a ball gown and like the potential for dragons and glitter, I'm in. Listen, I'm in. And so I started this actually on my Kindle app, and I need to keep going, but it's free if you have Prime membership. It's called The Cure.
That's a good one. It's an oldie, but a goodie.
It is an oldie, but a goodie by K.A. Riley. And it's just one of those, like, I don't see this being an all class novel necessarily, but I think it'll draw kids in and it'll be a great choice. I mean, the cover had me. It's a girl running in a like really pretty royal blue gown through a field towards a city in ruins with birds in the air. I mean, I'm all in.
You're in.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So how far are you?
Oh, like 3 pages and then I fell asleep. I had a very sick kid last weekend. So it was like barely. Yeah.
Okay.
But so we're just barely. It had me. Listen, okay. It says teen and young adult, apocalyptic and post-apocalyptic. Like, those are 2 of the tags. So you had me at hello. Okay.
You had me at hello. Okay.
Yeah.
I love it.
You have a bigger list than I do because you start and then I'm going to just jump in here and there.
Okay. Yeah. No, jump in as much as you want. So I want to put a couple out there that I have not read, but have come through like Facebook groups and have been reminders to me. So one of them, if you teach upper grades, is Station 11. I still have that on my TBR and I need to get to it, but I've heard and I wanted to throw it out there for everyone. Station 11 is a really good one. I hear this in like AP Lang and AP Lit circles of teachers bring that up pretty frequently. So keep that in mind. I know a lot of times Brave New World is up there as well, but a lot of times Brave New World is not allowed. Same with Handmaids. Those are contentious in a lot of states. So Station 11 is another option that's got the rigor and kind of the artistry that you might be looking for up there. Another one is called Goliath. This one's a YA.
Yep.
And this came to me through, I think, a Facebook group. The cover features all, like, I've never seen this before. It's got the name Goliath straight down the middle. I cannot pronounce the author's name. I don't want to butcher it, but it came out in January 2022. So it's very, very new. And it says it's an adult novel, but I don't know why I heard YA from somebody. Anyway, the idea is this. It's a science fiction epic fantasy dystopia in the vein of Station 11. So in the 2050s, Earth has begun to empty. Those with the means and privilege have departed the great cities of the United States for the more comfortable confines of space colonies. Those left behind salvage what they can from the collapsing infrastructure. As they eke out an existence, their neighborhoods are being cannibalized. Brick by brick, their houses are sent to the colonies, which was once a home, now a quaint reminder for the colonists of the world that they wrecked. So it says it's an epic, really descriptive narrative. So that's one to add to your list.
For sure.
Speaking of space, The Last Quintista. We have to talk about The Last Quintista. I didn't put it on the list, but that's because I didn't really care for it.
Yes. No, you didn't. You told me to read it and then you said, never mind.
I was so bummed. So Last Quintista is definitely YA, as with Goliath, I'm not totally sure. But Last Quintista should have been the perfect book for me.
Right.
It's a Hispanic female author, it's a Latina is at the center. And I love those stories. And it's dystopian. And it's all about storytelling. Like, I thought about Marie's essential question about storytelling 1,000 times. It just, to me, ended up feeling very slow. So that's really my only complaint, is I hoped more would happen, like Gracier style. I hope that there was more to it, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't put it on a choice list for kids. It might be perfect for somebody else. And I think for if you're going to add to your like listening list, you know, like not a book you're going to take the time to sit down and read, I would definitely listen to it on like 2-speed and see if it belongs in your choice list, because it does do a great job of representing in this genre kind of an unrepresented or a less represented group. And the storytelling, like the pieces are there. The pieces are really there. Just the pacing felt off.
Yeah. I mean, that might just be, well, so there's another one that you have on your list that you just made me think of as you were talking about The Last Quintista. We Set the Dark on Fire. That has been on my list by Taylor K. Mejia. Like, on my list. Oh my God, and now I'm looking back at it again and remembering how much I wanted to read it.
It's so good.
Okay.
That was also on my list forever.
Yeah.
Forever. It was, for me, it was a 4.8 out of 5-star read. It was
That's pretty high for Amanda, everybody.
I loved it. Okay. Loved it.
Okay. Well, but this is another one with a female protagonist, right? Like women are given one of two roles. You have to pick your lane. We like that.
Yes. And the commentary on, like we talked about a little bit with Marrow Thieves, on borders.
Yes.
I think the way that it's presented in this story is enough that it's not going to immediately trigger students. I think it's in the background of the conversation. So you can either confront it and deal with it or not, depending on where you're at, you know, in your school and whatever. It was awesome. Lots of action. I think even, you know, sometimes people are like, well, is it going to move fast enough for my kids? This one? Absolutely. I think kids are going to love it.
I can't remember how many pages it is. 384. I mean, that's not a small, that might be why it keeps staying on my TBR list, is because I think when I'm looking for, especially dystopia YA, I'm looking through the lens of kids. And so I look for things that are a little bit, I'm in a quarter system. We only have 9 weeks in our quarter. So like if it's not super accessible,
it
can't be too long. You know, like that's kind of the trade-off. Otherwise some of my sweeties are not going to make it through, but maybe I'll push this one up.
Yeah. Harder. It also features a queer romance, which is very unusual for dystopia.
Well, that's the Marrow Thieves too, though. I mean, the Marrow Thieves is like wonderfully just like seamless blending just people without being like, guess what? Here comes something. Yeah.
Well, and it's also coming of age. Like that's all part of it too. And I thought it was just beautifully done. Really beautifully done. I was very into it. Okay. My last one.
Yeah. I was just going to say, let's just give our last few titles and set our friends on their merry way, and make sure you go to the show notes because, oh my gosh, so many links for you.
Yeah. I can throw some more in the links if you want to, the ones, especially the ones we haven't read, but How High We Go in the Dark is a lot. It is a novel, but it's structured as a series of short stories that all kind of loosely fit together in different ways. So to read it as a whole, I would say for sure, this is a 12th grade read, maybe even like a freshman in college read. If you were though to isolate some of the chapters as short stories, it would be beautiful at a lot of different levels. There's one story that still sticks with me. There are so many, but one that sticks with me. And the premise is this. So there's been a great pandemic, right? Which is like taken on a whole new meaning, right? For all of us. Like we all understand like the cringe of like how we initially felt in our own pandemic. So there's a pandemic, there's no cure, but the pandemic only affects children. It does not affect adults. So if a child gets this sickness, they are guaranteed death. It is just, how long is it going to take?
How did you get through reading this?
Well, it's a short story. So, okay. I mean, it's not, and like a lot of these stories, it's so artfully done that like
right.
The premise just kind of there, but like the humanity is what's for, you know, front and center. And so the idea is that again, like this is going to be more upsetting.
But full disclosure, everybody, I'm coming off the heels of having a very sick daughter. So that's why
this is going to make that a lot worse. So what's been invented are these things. They're not called, I forget the real name, what the name is they called it, but they're basically euthanasia parks. So they've taken
the theme park thing. Yeah.
Yes. They've taken these like ruined theme parks that no one goes to anymore. And they've created these kind of like last chance weekends for sick kids. And so the idea is that you can, you know, take your kid to this park and like you go through the whole day. They have tons of fun. And then the last ride they go on is like this death roller coaster. Like they send them off, like the G force is so intense that basically the kids just immediately die in their in the midst of this thrill ride because it's so intense. It lights out. And so of course, there's the moral dilemma question, right? Like, what do you do? Like, you know, your kid's going to die, you know, do you do it with this like last chance having fun? Do you do something else? You know, there are characters that are trying to, you know, wait out, you know, for the vaccine or for the fix. They're trying to hold on. They've got kids living in like bubbles basically to try to like preserve them and keep them safe. Oh my gosh. So it's a great piece for if you're ready to have a lot of discussion on some of the moral dilemmas that come up because of dystopian themes. I like the idea of doing an intense short story as another option. Maybe you don't have time for a full unit.
Yeah. Or maybe you're trying to get into something. Yeah.
Yes. Getting into like a speech, a debate, a research. Exactly. This would be such a cool way to kick it off. Again, like take into consideration the age of your students and their sensitivity.
Right. I can tell you right now, I couldn't do this year. And if that's you, friends, that's okay.
But I think for the podcast, part of what Maria and I are trying to do too is like put little seeds in your brain because there might be a time when this feels good, or this is really, I don't know, this would be really cool just to even like do with colleagues, you know?
Sure. Like almost like a close read sort of a study sort of a thing, do something really, really hard. And then, but also, I've definitely got students who would be able to, this would be get a great AP Lit, AP Lang conversation. It's also pointing to a really cool set of products that Amanda has created where she creates like text sets with pulling short story length pieces. I'm trying to say excerpts out of novels and pairing them all together. I mean, this is like all in that same vein. So totally. We will link all of the things in the show notes, friends.
All the things. I hope those are some nice, fresh. Yes. That felt like a fresh update. I feel good about this.
Well, and the cool thing is once you type one or two of these into Goodreads or like, you know, Amazon or bookshop.org or whatever into the search bar, you get all of these other suggestions, right? And then you can start poking around and see what works for you.
Please message us on Instagram if you want to know, you know, like, is this one worth my time? Because we also know that like we, as much as we love to read, I don't want to waste my time either with a crappy book.
Or just something that's like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Yes. Totally. Absolutely. Let us know. Let us know what suggestions you have as well so that we can share the wealth. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, this is the beginning of a little mini dystopia series leading up to some renewed energy in our dystopia workshop. So we can't wait to take you along for the ride. All right, friends. Thank you for coming. And we will see you next time. Bye.